What one thing above everything else would God want you to do? If you're unsaved, I can answer for you. He would want you to come to Him with an humble and broken heart and say, "Dear God, please forgive my sins and save me." And He would. He would immediately. So I'm not really talking to you. I want to talk to you that have been saved and have followed the Lord, I hope, in believer's baptism, becoming a member of His church. What one thing, above everything else, what one thing would God want you to do for Him? I want you to think about it. I want us to get in this revival as though it would be our last. And it could be, for me, you, who knows. We need to wake up and look on the fields for their white already to harvest. People are dying around us without God. Sin is raging. Satan is going forth as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And God's people are so apathetic right now. It's like we don't believe God will do it for us. Where's our faith? Oh, we got faith in the pilot. We'll get on the plane and fly to Timbuktu. We got faith in the doctors. Some of you go every day. We have faith that those automobiles that we're meeting on these two-lane roads are not going to come over and hit us head-on. Where is our faith in God? Where has it gone? What have we let happen? We don't talk to our families about the Lord. We don't talk to the unsaved in-laws that come in about God. We let them go their way, and they go right on like heathen, neglecting the Lord's house on the Lord's day, thinking nothing about it. Folks, it's time we stood up and spoke up. It is. It's time. Now. Now is the time. I want to point out just a few instances. I hope I get through talking before you get through listening. My text will be, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You all remember Noah? Yeah, many of you have been up to see the ark, probably. It's a great replica, no doubt, of what Noah built for God. Unbelievable. What that one man did for God. And you know what he did while he was doing that? He multitasked. He was preaching the gospel and warning people about a flood, and they were laughing at him because it had never even rained, much less come a flood. They received their water coming up from the earth. That was it. About 120 years he did this. His faith was there. He took God at His word. Peter said he was a preacher of righteousness, and I'm going to believe him. Noah was faithful to God. He had his heart set. He had his mission for God. He was focused, and he meant to accomplish God's purpose in his life. God has a purpose for every person here. God has something for you to do tomorrow. He has someone for you to speak to tomorrow. And He will impress it upon you to do that. I don't know whether you'll do it or not, but I guarantee you it'll happen. There'll be someone that you will see tomorrow that you could even tell, "Hey, do you know the revival's going on at Elton?" And they've got a young preacher over there trying to learn how to preach. Why don't you go and pray for him? There is something that we can all do. Please don't think you can't help. Jeremiah, your name will open doors for you. People will listen just because you're Jeremiah. He was called the weeping prophet. You know that. And one of the great verses God gave him to write was, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." Oh, the love of God that passeth all understanding. Let's don't trample the mercies of God underfoot. I think about Abraham. My gracious, what a man. God, he had so much faith, God changed his name. Changed it from Abram to Abraham and made him the father of many nations. Oh, he did that for no one else. Abraham was special. God called upon Abraham to take his son, Isaac, up on top of a mountain and prepare to offer him for a sacrifice to God. You know what Abraham did? "I'm through with you, God." No. No. He got the servants rounded up, told his wife, Sarah, what he was doing, and they set out. They get to the foot of Mount Moriah, I believe it was, and they're there, and Abraham and Isaac are standing there. Isaac, he doesn't know what's going on. And Abraham turns to his servants and he said, "You wait here while the lad and I go yonder and worship and return." Don't leave that out, folks. While the lad and I go yonder to worship and return. You thinking what I'm thinking? Abraham thought, "I've got to kill him. He's asked me to kill him. I don't have a choice. I got to do what God said do. So I've got to kill him. But God is going to get my boy up and let him walk back down this hill with me." Abraham had no idea that while they were walking up the front of Mount Moriah, God was sending a ram up the backside of it to become that sacrifice. And when Isaac came to what was going on, he said, "Father, where's the sacrifice?" What did Abraham say? "God will provide." Amen. Did he provide? Oh boy, did he provide. He sent his only begotten son to this sinful world for you and me and all others. All others. I loved your inclusive statement, Brother Cofer. Yes, God is no respecter of persons, the same Lord over all. And He will save anyone that comes to Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And I wish you'd come tonight. Abraham had a purpose, didn't he? What's your purpose? Maybe yours is not as clear-cut as mine was. God saved me August the 6th, 1953. He impressed me with a deep, deep calling of the Spirit, not an oral voice, to preach in March and February of 1962. Some of you have heard this, but it's all right. I'm going to tell you again. I was still living at home. In fact, I stayed at home until I married. I was 26 years old. My daddy said one day, "Kenneth, I believe your scholarship's about run out around here." My mother said, "Oh, no, he can stay as long as I'm here." That's a mama's love for you. I'd go to bed and God would say, "Go preach, go preach." I'd say, "God, I can't preach. First of all, I'm not worthy. Do you know what scripture fits me more than any other? Paul said to the Corinthians, 'God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the wise.' There's not a weaker anywhere than right here. I know that. If I've ever done any good, God had to do it all using me as a mouthpiece because I couldn't. I wasn't qualified. I wasn't worthy. And the saddest of all, I didn't want to. I wanted to be a CPA. Figures came easy for me before I started preaching." I thought Gary Hunt might say amen. I got up out of the bed and I went over to the pond where I would go frog gigging sometimes. And those frogs were along the banks, and they were chirping, "Go preach, go preach, go preach." I wanted to go home, get my gig, and come back. I couldn't get away from it. God said, "This is what you've got to do." And finally, I said, "Yes, sir. But if you don't help me, I'll be a total failure." Thank God. He'll help us. He'll help you. Don't think you got to do this by yourself. Whatever that one thing is that you know you need to do for God, just say, "Lord, I'm going, but you got to go with me." You got to make the start. He won't make the start for you. Let's move quickly. Probably one of the greatest men to ever live was Moses. Moses, what was the task that God really had for him? One thing, really. Build a tabernacle, lead his children out of bondage. Get them out from Pharaoh. Get them out of Egypt. By faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The Bible said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. What is money worth, folks? Our dollar is not worth 30 cents. When you get right down to it. How much you going to take with you? I don't care how many million you got, you won't take a thing with you. I remember a funeral director told me one time, he said his daddy started the funeral business there in Nashville. His name was Robinson, Garner Robinson. He said when Dad died, he told me there was two things that I had to do. He said he wanted his gold watch in that casket with him, and he wanted $2,000 of money in the casket with him. I said, "Did you do it?" He said, "Yeah, I did." I believe I'd have put a check in if it had been me. David was a man after God's own heart. I want you to think about little David the day he walked over and saw the Philistines, and here's the Israelites, and they're standing there about to go to war. And big Goliath walks out, and he continues his intimidation of Israel because they won't send someone out to fight him. 9 feet and 6 inches tall, you wouldn't have gone either. When David heard him and what he said about the God of Israel, it broke his heart. He looked at his brothers and he looked at his fellow countrymen, and he couldn't believe that they would stand there and take that. You know, something, folks, sometimes we just have to stand up. We have to stand up and be counted. Even if we get knocked down, you can get back up. We have to do something. Well, he decided he would go meet Goliath. Well, that was probably the joke of the century. Here's this little ruddy fella, didn't look like anything much, and he's going to go fight Goliath. Well, you know, they were so desperate when Saul heard about it, he said, "Send him to me, I'm going to fix him." And he had an armor ready for him, and he had a helmet, he had the body armor, he had everything ready for David. No, David wasn't a big, strong fella. Just carrying the armor was a job for him. And I can see him taking it off and telling Saul, I can't do this. I can't use this. He said, "You know, I've been out keeping watch over my father's sheep." And he said, "When a lion came along, the Lord would deliver him into my hand. When the bear came along, the Lord would deliver him into my hand. The Lord will deliver Goliath into my hand." Faith. What kind of faith? Folks, that's mountain moving kind of faith. We need some of that in America. We need to stop having faith in us and Washington and put our faith in God. Listen, folks, and start helping each other like we once did. I grew up in a time when we helped one another, didn't expect a nickel in return. Today, if somebody gives you a sip of water, they want $100. It's horrible what we've come to in this land. Well, you know the result of David. David reached down and got him 5 smooth stones. And everybody's always asking, why did he pick up the other 4 if he had faith? Hey, folks, and it never hurts to have backup. Never hurts. Only a fool would not have backup. No. Well, he stepped out with his slingshot. He aimed. And he drew it back. New men, most of you have done that one time or another. It left his slingshot probably at about, at most, I'd say 40 miles an hour. And it was probably doing around 1,000 miles an hour when it hit the forehead of Goliath, because God had got a hold of it and said, David, I'll take care of this from here. You've done your part. And of course, the big giant fell to the earth with all of his armor dead. And David completed the task. He drew it. The Goliaths, he drew the giant's sword from his sheath, and he finished the task. He served God. Nehemiah. You all remember Nehemiah? Oh, I like Nehemiah. I love to read about Nehemiah. Nehemiah is going to build the wall back around Jerusalem. He's working. Oh, yeah, they work. They're working with one hand, got their armor in the other hand, but they're working. The king hears about it, the old king down there. And he sends a messenger up there to tell him, said, tell Nehemiah to come on down here. I want to talk to him. And Nehemiah said, no, it's okay. Go ahead. Well, he went back, you know, and he told the king he won't come. And he sent some kind of a big written decree out, you know. And he brings that back up there to Nehemiah, and Nehemiah reads that. And I often wondered what he did with it. I kind of believe it might have been that. And this, he said, you go back and tell King, was it Jehoshaphat? Is that him? I believe it was. You tell him this for me. I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. William Carey, the old missionary, you know what he said to preachers? He said, if God's called you to preach, don't stoop to become a king. That's what he said. If God has called you to preach. He'd been gone from America, I don't know how many years, and he comes home. The ship docks. They pull out the gangplank. The stewardess is standing there, and there was some dignitary from the nation, ambassador or something, that came off, and all the Marine Corps band was standing there, and they were playing When Johnny Comes Marching Home Again, you know, all this big pageantry and all that went on for this wonderful guy. Brother Carey was standing there, and he was surveying the coastline looking for one familiar face. He didn't see any. The waitress standing by noticed what had happened. She turned to Brother Carey. She said, preacher, you're not home yet. Folks, this is not our home. My home's over yonder. I'm going. I'm going to heaven, and don't you want to go? Yes. Yes. We want to go. Paul. Oh, my gracious. Paul. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended. And then he was saying, I haven't gained all. I don't know all. But he said, this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. One thing I do. Judy used to tease me because I'm so one-track minded. She'd say, "You can't walk and chew gum." And she was right. She was right. I want everybody in this house to be saved and having your heart with God put in mind. I want everybody, is this Hickory County? I want everybody in Hickory County to have what I have. Will Rogers said he never met a man he didn't like. If I said that, I'd be lying. I've met some I could wait about seeing again till the day of judgment. But I've never seen one I didn't want him to have in his heart what God put in mine. I want everybody, and I pray every night for everybody to hear one gospel sermon and believe it to the salvation of their soul. Nehemiah, what a man. You know, Jesus bragged on John the Baptist. I'm almost through. He said, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." Did you all ever picture him? He had a leathern girdle about his loins. He never had seen a razor. He didn't know what a razor was. His food was locust and wild honey. He came right out of the wilderness. Of course, we know about his parents. And we know about the 400-year gap in there, you know, between the prophets and the coming of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ. John's down here by the River of Jordan preaching. This fella looking like that. He didn't drive a good automobile and wear a nice suit, and tie. But he had the goods, and God would take care of the rest. He preached, and God took his spirit and made it work in the hearts of the hearers. He'll still do that, folks, for us. That's my hope. Massey hadn't got any strength. My hope is that God will take it, just like he took that stone from David's slingshot. Take this gospel and cut it into the hearts of those. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Save John the Baptist. Why was Jesus bragging on John the Baptist? I think it was because he knew he was preparing a people for him to take and make a church out of. And that's exactly what he did. Yes. Thank God for that. James said, "Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works." Do works save us? No, no. We're saved by grace through faith. You won't get there any other way. Who will go for God? I was in a revival years ago at Darden, Tennessee, and we'd been going services day and night. And everybody looked like it was about half dead. And one night, I got up to preach, and I had cleared this with the pastor. I never want to get in front of the pastor. And you have a wonderful pastor. Pray for him and help him. And he'll just keep doing more and more for you. And God will use him for that, for his glory and his blessing. And instead of preaching, I said, "Tonight, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to ask you all, if you will, to stand up for the benediction." I hadn't read a verse of Scripture and pretended to try to preach. I said, "Now, before we have this benediction, I'd like to ask you to do something. I want you to go and talk to some unsaved person. Your pastor and I are going to wait here at the church. And if any of you want to come back with that person to pray, we'll be waiting." We dismissed, they left. We didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know if anybody would ever come back or not. About an hour and a half later, here comes a young married man. I guess he was probably 25, 26. Came in the door with his daddy, who had never been saved. They came right down to the altar. They bowed beside of each other. His daddy let God know what he needed. And he was gloriously saved there in the altar that night. What's God want you to do? What one thing above everything does he want you to do? I thank you so much for hearing me. I do want to tell you this in closing. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived besides Jesus Christ, made this statement. He that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. You want wise. You want to put a star in your crown? Would you like to have a little reward in heaven? Go win some poor sinner to the Lord. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Notice what it said, he that goeth forth and weepeth. You have to have a burdened heart. If God ever takes away my burden for unsaved people to be saved, I will never try to preach again. But I pray I don't lose that burden. I pray I'll have it till my deathbed. And I pray if there's an unsaved person here tonight, I don't care when you come, now, later, after the service, I'll be here. I can't save you, but I'd love to pray with you. Thank you for hearing me, Brother Cofer.